Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are about to get hard and heavy into your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would fulfill your promise that your word will go out and accomplish its purpose and not return void. Do something special in here today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, look, I know some of you in here today are a little older than me. Some of you are quite a bit older than me. But I've been around long enough to be able to say this. During my lifetime, I have seen many changes. But one of the biggest and most unbelievable is the way people today view and think about Jesus. Folks, in our culture, Jesus has gone from being revered and respected as the Son of God to being the subject of ridicule and irreverent jokes. Never before has the biblical portrayal of Jesus been so foreign in our culture as it is today. Let me give you some examples. In the fashion world, Jesus appears on t-shirts made by Urban Outfitters that say, "Jesus is my homeboy." On TV, he has appeared on shows like The Simpsons and South Park. He has been mocked and ridiculed on the big screen. In the year 2010, in an interview, singer Elton John said this: "Jesus was a compassionate, super intelligent gay man who understood human problems." And I got to tell you, I have not always walked with the Lord. That is true enough. But even when I was out there doing the dirtiest dirt that I ever did, I never thought I would see a day in America where Jesus Christ would be so profaned or misrepresented in our society. And, you know, because of that, I don't think there's ever been a time when knowing the truth about who Jesus was and is any more important than today. And I thank God this morning that he has given us the source of all truth right here. Right in between the covers of this book, we've got the source of all truth, the Holy Bible. And I'm gonna be giving you some good stuff from the Bible today. We're going to examine the truth this morning in our message, which is entitled "The Real Jesus." We're only going to be looking at three verses. Now, I'm going to give you a lot more than three, but our text is going to be three verses. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. If you have your Bibles, open them up. And if you do not have your Bibles, let me quote Pastor Leroy. "May God have mercy on your sin-sick, shriveled-up souls." Now, he would always smile when he said that, by the way. Now, aside from the four gospel accounts, there's no other book in the entire Bible that tells us more about Jesus than Hebrews. So listen, if you want to know something about Jesus, read the gospels. If you want to know even more about Jesus, read the book of Hebrews. This book was actually written to first century Jewish people who had become Christians. And because of that, they were facing tremendous pressure to give up their new faith in Jesus Christ. They were being persecuted not only by fellow Jews, but also by Gentiles. Their own families were disowning them many times because they had abandoned the religion of Judaism and embraced Christianity. So the book of Hebrews was written to encourage these Jewish Christians to keep their faith anchored in the truth and to help them remain confident in Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, he's the one that these Hebrew Christians needed to wrap their lives around. He's the one they needed to know. Only a full understanding of who Jesus is could get them through the difficulties they were facing. And the same is true for us today. I'm going to tell you right now, and some of you are about to get your feelings hurt. Look, I'm not intentionally doing that. You get mad at what I say, go argue with God. So often today, even in the church, man, We got people who claim to believe the Bible, who claim to believe Jesus, but they're not dedicated. They're simply not dedicated. They're not even loyal to their home church, man. They'll wake up once and say, well, it's nice. I'm not going to go to church. Well, it's raining. I'm not going to go to church. And then they'll stay gone for 2 or 3 months. 2 or 3 months, they're gone. And then when their whole life turns to trash, they want to come in here and cry on my shoulder and ask me why all this stuff's happening to. Why you think? Because you live like you live like God doesn't exist. You say you believe, but there's always more important things to do than worry about coming in here to worship Jesus. So American Christians, man, we're led astray far too easy. Just as these first century Christians needed Jesus, we need him today. And not just as our Savior, but also as that friend that sticks closer than a brother, as that constant companion for our lives. Now, look, I'm going to be straight with you. Not every single book of the Bible is super upfront as to what it's about. You got to dig in and kind of find out once in a while. Not true with the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews tells you exactly what it's about. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Listen to this. The point of what we are saying is this. That's pretty clear, isn't it? If you want to know what the whole point of the book of Hebrews is, the author, the writer of it rather, says, the point of what we're saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Friend, that's what the book of Hebrews is about. It's all about Jesus. So instead of spending all our time this morning complaining about the world's view of Jesus, we're going to focus our attention on what the Bible says about Jesus. Now, in these first few verses in this book of Hebrews, we're told many things about who Jesus really is. And in case you couldn't tell, I'm kind of motivated this morning because I get to preach Jesus straight on. Now, I preach about Jesus all the time, but in certain passages, Jesus is kind of in between other things, sort of in the spaces. You got to look to not so in Hebrews. If you're preaching from the book of Hebrews, you're just preaching Jesus because that's what the whole thing is about. The first thing I want to tell you this morning about Jesus is that he is the final word from God. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So these two verses are telling us, hey, back in the Old Testament times, God spoke in various ways to various people at various times. Look, God spoke to Adam. He spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Moses. He spoke to David. He spoke to Solomon. And he also spoke at different times during the Old Testament. God spoke to people from Genesis all the way through Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. But here's something you better take note of. Back then, God only spoke to people here and there and only a little bit at a time. There was never a time in the Old Testament when we had the full and final word of God. But when you get to the New Testament, something happens. That changes. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Now, Jesus has got a lot of different titles. Did you know that one of his titles, one of his names is actually the Word? In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Friend, that's talking about Jesus. He's God's last word to man. Now, when Jesus came to his place on this earth, pay attention now. When Jesus came to his place on this earth, he was God walking around in a flesh and blood body. When God wanted to communicate to us who he was, he took all of his deity, he poured it into humanity, and he said, this is who I am. And Jesus walked on this earth. So Jesus is God's final word to man. So listen, if you're one of these people that's looking for a new word from God, a new revelation from God other than Jesus, you might want to sit down because you're going to have a long wait. God has given us his final word, friends, and the message is Jesus. Not only is Jesus the final word from God, he is the first cause of creation. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Some of you are getting ready to learn something you did not know. You get to the New Testament and you discover that the one person of the Holy Trinity that was involved more than any other in the creation process was Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute now. Hold on. Did you know that Jesus Christ is God, the Creator? Somebody says, well, I don't know about that. Where does the Bible say that Jesus created the world? Get a pen. Look again at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. If you're still not convinced, let's go back to John chapter 1 again. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Listen now. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now, that's about as clear as you can get. Now, everybody in here, surely at one time or another, you have heard of the concept of the Holy Trinity. One God in three persons that are co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal. They're not all one third God. They are all God, but they're not three gods. They're only one God. This means Jesus is God. And for people that can't wrap their little mind around that and they don't think that Jesus is God, what part of these verses I just read to you do you not get, man? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Here's some more evidence for you. For by him, talking about Jesus, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. You're starting to get a little bit of a picture of the real Jesus here. He's the last word from God. He's the first cause of creation. And that's not all. Friend, he is the fullness of the Godhead. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19, for God was pleased to have some of his fullness. No, don't say that, does it? God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. That means Jesus Christ is exactly the same as God because he is God. You say, well, I don't believe that Jesus is God. Well, then, friend, you and God don't agree. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. This is God the Father speaking about Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. So here's God the Father calling Jesus Christ God. Now, friend, if you don't think that Jesus is God in the flesh, then you got a problem with God the Father. Because here's God the Father speaking about Jesus, and he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. So look, Jesus is not who you want him to be. Jesus is who he is. He is who the Bible says he is. And you know, if we would actually read our Bibles, we'd have a whole lot better understanding of who the real Jesus is. Now, I can tell you, because of what I do for a living, I get approached by a lot of people, or most of them are shocked when they find out I'm a pastor. I really can't imagine why. But when people find out, inevitably they want to start asking me Bible questions. And one of the questions people ask me is this, okay? Well, what happens to people that never heard the gospel? They never heard about Jesus. What happens to them when they die? And I say, they go to hell. Friend, if you think I'm wrong on this, I don't have time to get into it with you. Read Romans chapter 1, okay? Men are without excuse, right? So here's the thing. They were born lost. They didn't accept Jesus, so they stayed that way. Here's the answer I get. What happens to those people? They go to hell. Or if I tell them about the judgment of God falling on people who don't repent of their sin, you know what they say? Well, I don't believe that. My God would never send anyone to hell. Well, that's right. That's because your God doesn't exist. You made him up. He's not real. You know, here in America, I'm going to tell you, we are a piece of work. If we're looking at the Bible or looking at doctrines of the Christian faith, you know what we do? We find something we don't like. Well, we just get rid of it. That's what they do in churches all over the country. Oh, you don't like hell? Well, no problem. We'll just get rid of it. We won't preach about that. You want everybody to go to heaven? Cool. We'll just make that happen. We will write a book about it, or we'll get on TV and talk about it, and we'll make everybody believe it's true. Friend, that's not true at all. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. So you can do whatever you want with it, but you can't take it out of the Bible. Now, some people, here's their attitude they have. Well, if I don't want it to be true, then it's just not true. Hey, man, truth is truth, whether you want it to be true or not. And if you ever, ever want to have any kind of hope of maturing in your Christian faith, you better find out what's true and then get on the bus. But don't be going down all these blind alleys trying to make Jesus be who you want him to be. Don't be trying to make Jesus just like you. Jesus doesn't even want to be like you. He wants you to be like him. And friend, when you get on that road and you start trying to be like Jesus wants you to be, that's when good things happen. So, quick review. Jesus is who? He's the final word of God, final word from God. He's the first cause of creation. He's the fullness of the Godhead. And number four, he is the facilitator of all things. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 again. He sustains all things by his powerful word. Do you know what keeps this planet, this little blue ball that we live on? Do you know what keeps it just from going off aimlessly into outer space? Jesus. Jesus, he's the facilitator of all things. He's got it under control. He existed before history. He was there at the beginning of history, and he's still going to be there when history is over. He's the facilitator and the sustainer of this world. This is what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Colossians 1:17 when he said of Jesus, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. There has never been a moment from the very beginning of creation that Jesus Christ has not been performing this mighty work, holding everything together as the facilitator of the universe. But you know what? We're just starting to scratch the surface. He's the first cause of creation, the fullness of the Godhead, the facilitator of all things, the final word of God, and thank God for this one. He is the forgiveness of our sins. Verse 3 again. He provided purification for our sins. So not only is Jesus the revealer of God, friends, he's the redeemer of man. The book of Hebrews is all about cleansing. And here we're told that Jesus is the one who provides purification for our sins. He cleansed us. I want to tell you some good news. this Jesus that I've been telling you about, and you can probably tell I'm a little bit excited over. He's the one who's the final word from God and the first cause of creation, the fullness of the Godhead, the facilitator of all things. He's also the forgiveness of our sins. That's what we're talking about right now. When we come to Jesus, not only does he hear our prayer for forgiveness, but because of who he is, he can actually do something about it. He can forgive our sins. But he's even more. Our next point, he is also the finisher of our faith. Go back to verse 3 one more time, the last part of the verse. Check this. I love this part. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Now, some of you are still thinking, well, that sounds pretty good what you're saying, but that's just too easy. I got to do something to earn my salvation. There's something that I got to do. I got to do some kind of works in order to earn my way to heaven. If that's what you think, well, let me put this in Spanish for you. No. There's nothing you need to do to earn your salvation except put your faith and trust in what Jesus has already done to pay for your salvation. He doesn't want you to do anything other than accept what he's done for you. Now, I want to make sure you understand who Jesus is. I'm going to go through the list one more time. He's the final word from God. He is the first cause of creation. He's the fullness of the Godhead, the facilitator of all things, the forgiveness of our sins, the finisher of our faith. And here's the last one. He's our faithful high priest. This Jesus who created the world, who holds it all together, who purified us from our sins when he died on the cross and then went to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says he is at the right hand of the Father, always making intercession for the saints. Let me go back to that last part of that verse again. It says, after he did this, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Okay? Jesus purified us from our sins, and he did it so good that you know what he did when he got done? He sat down. Because he was done. He did the job so well, he could just sit down. Now, he's our faithful high priest. The Bible says he's at the right hand of God the Father, always making intercession for the saints. Hebrews chapter 2 now, verses 17 and 18. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers, that's us, in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Here's what that means. For a short time, Jesus was a little lower than the angels so that he might become one of us and walk among us and live as we've lived on this earth. Jesus didn't give in to any temptation that he faced. So he felt the full brunt of it. So whatever it is that you think you have gone through, you haven't gone through what Jesus has gone through. And do you know why that's true? Because when you were faced with temptation, you gave in. You gave in. And so did I. Jesus never gave in. He faced the most severe and direct temptations that you can imagine, and yet he never gave in. And the Bible says that when I go to him with my trouble, I can talk to somebody who knows what it's like to be human and face temptation. Anybody, regardless of who they are or where they come from, they can come to Jesus. It is through the person of Jesus that God the Father is with us in love and in infinite blessing. In the Bible, Jesus is referred to by many names and many titles, but one of the sweetest is Emmanuel, God with us. That's who Jesus is. He is God with us. He's the creator of the universe. He's the one who holds it all together. He's the one that cleansed us from sin. And he's the one that hears your prayer when you cry out to him in the dark of the night. You know, when you're going through that thing that you never thought you would have to go through and you're wondering, does anybody know what it's like to experience what I'm suffering through right now? I'm telling you, there is one who does know. There's one who has felt the pressure of it all. And the Bible says he is our faithful high priest. Now, just in case you haven't figured this out, I'm recommending Jesus to you. I'm recommending him to you this morning. You need to receive him. You need to accept him. The book of Hebrews says you need to consider him. Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, we are warned 4 different times not to harden our hearts against him. And we're also warned that now that we know who Jesus is, we have to do something with him. Now, you don't have to do anything to earn your salvation, but you do have to do something with Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6, a very familiar verse to probably all of you. Jesus speaking of himself, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So as we close this morning, let me just tell you this last thing. Friend, if you want to go to heaven someday, if you want to spend eternity with God, if you want to be with your Christian loved ones who have died and gone on ahead of you, make sure there's been a time when you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart. He's your creator. He's your sustainer. He's the only one that can forgive your sins. And you know what else? He's the one who's coming back someday. And all those who have received him will be caught up in the air to meet him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for coming down to this earth in a flesh and blood body to be tempted and tried. Lord, you did this so that you would be able to sympathize with us. You became like we were in every way, except you did not sin. Because of that, you were the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Lord, you are all these things that we mentioned today. We thank you. We praise you. Give us the wisdom and discernment to wake up every morning and get suited up in the full armor of God, that we might be able to stand strong against the wiles of our enemy, the devil. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you. Now let's bow our heads for the benediction, please. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.